We are in the page 7. We're moving now to the word praise, and we'll be right back and start. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of opening the book and the truth that is in it. And we're thankful that you say it the way you want it, and no matter what anybody else does, it's only your word that counts. It's not the way people abuse it. And when we think of this concept of praise, we realize that we live in a world where praise is abused, that people don't grasp it at all. They think just saying praise is praise, and it's not. May you bless us as we think in these things. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We talked about Thanksgiving last time. Thanksgiving is...
We work here so long.
Being thankful for all things.
Can we read these?
Appreciation.
Expression of appreciation.
Expression of gratitude, appreciation.
Yeah, I mean, it's
something that hasn't been done, even.
Yeah, sometimes when the logging truck doesn't run over you. I mean, you can be thankful for a lot. I mean, and let's get the big cover. You got a 4-point cover. What is it? And the word is all. In all things, for all things, at all times, and for all men.
In all things, for all.
Page 5. I was going to find the page number. You have it.
Page 5 at the top.
And those items you need to, I mean, it's really, and you need to remember. Now, it doesn't say at all times, because that is in, it says always, which is at all times in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And so those are 4 elements of Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is a marker of something in the New Testament. It's the only kind of communication that marks this. What is it? It's kind of interesting. It looks to me like I can just look at a verse there that tells me, because I know the context.
What was your question again, Dave?
Okay, Thanksgiving communication is a form of communication that is a marker, that is marks a believer in a certain circumstance. Rephrased it. Okay, what's in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18? In 5:18, is be filled with the Spirit?
Spiritual believer.
So it's a spiritual believer. And it's one of those participles that ties back to the main verb. And so if you're spiritual, a mark of spirituality is thanksgiving. Hmm. And so, now don't turn the horse before the cart, or behind the cart. And that is, well, I'm thankful, therefore I'm spiritual. No, if you are spiritual, you will have thanksgiving, and it's at all times, and so it's a special. But it's interesting, in Ephesians 5, you have no other communication with it. Now, logically, praise will come in. It's a very logical thing. And so, when we talk about praise, it's one of those kinds of communication that God says, I think you need to know what I mean. Because in the 21st century, there are going to be a bunch of yo-yos that don't know what it means, and I'm going to have to make sure they know because I've told them. And so God gives us a definition of praise. And the problem is, and I sound abusive when I call people yo-yos, but they use this word so loosely, praise, you know. And when they use praise, they don't really know what it means. And so they need the definition. So God gives it to them, and the King James Version translates it wrong. I mean, it hides it. It obscures it. And it messes up two kinds of communication. So turning your Bibles to Hebrews 13:15. Now, in Hebrews 13:15, we have God's definition of praise is. And when I say that in your notes, I had to translate it because it's not that way in the King James. So let me read the King James so we can get the picture. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise." here I'm quoting it, and I want to make sure I'm right. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Wow. So praise is thanksgiving, according to King James Version.
It's supposed to be confessing, right?
It's supposed to be confessing.
That's one we went over with Ethan just this last Sunday. I've already got it penciled out. Right. Fresh in my mind.
Yeah, and so it's homologeo, which is a word for confess. Mm-hmm. Now, what is confession? Hama, the same. Lego is to say. And so it's an agreement. Agreement or saying the same thing that God says about His name. Now, which one of the names? No. The word name doesn't always mean a title on it. The word name deals with the character of God. His character. It's that which composes His character, His being. This is not just true in the New Testament, it's true in the Old Testament. And I've done a presentation in the distant past that showed how name is developed in relation to character. And you can see it from the Old Testament into the New. If we had more time in this class, I would have gone through that so you'd have that material. It's just a time problem with it. So it's saying the same thing He does about His character. Okay, now the reason I went back and reviewed Thanksgiving was that we have a simple definition is an expression of appreciation for a benefit that's been provided. Praise, in another simple definition, which is reflecting the definition God gives in Hebrews 13:15, and I'm simplifying it without looking at the one in the notes at the moment, and that is it's an expression of appreciation for the character of God manifested in that benefit. And so when you have a benefit, let's just say you had your favorite dinner tonight and your favorite dish. And you ate it, and it was potato chips. And potato chips. anyway, I have to give somebody a bad time.
That's not a favorite, it's an addiction.
It's an addiction. Okay. anyway.
He does fine for himself.
No, and you appreciated it, and you said, thank you, God, for that. That was really, really good. Those were the best potato chips I ate tonight. And you thanked Him for it. I mean, that's the way we should be doing. I mean, it's just that automatic response, and especially if something is pleasurable. It makes us happy. So we say, thank you, God. Well, if it made us happy, that was Thanksgiving, then we say, we praise you, Lord, because you made me happy, so I know you're good. And that's one of the attributes. And so when you know the attributes of God, you can go back and you see it manifested. Now, on the other hand, if your mind, you appreciated your potato chips, and you started thinking about it, and you thought about God, who God was, and it just depends how your mind works. And you say, man, it's really amazing. When I get something I really enjoy, and God showed His power in taking that potato and that dirt and producing something that people could make into something that I really enjoy, then you say, wow, what a powerful God. And you praise Him for His power. You see. And that, you see, it's the same thing. It's where your mind is. How you respond to it. And if it just had this special flavor and you say, okay, God knew exactly what I would like tonight. And you say, oh, okay, I praise you for your all-knowingness. You see, I mean, it's where your mind is. When He provides a benefit, if all of us had the same benefit and we enjoyed it to some degree, and I'm using the positive, I'm not using the negative, we could do that too. But if we enjoyed it, we might praise Him for different parts of His character. I mean, we have 7 attributes, we could respond technically in 7 ways, though normally not. I mean, it would probably be down maybe 5, because there's the way these benefits work. So, praise is confessing His name, saying the same thing He does about his character. And so you see, he impressed you in your mind with one element of his character when you received that blessing, and you responded in a positive way. And you saw God in it, in his character, and you praise him. And it says, the fruit of your lips. It's not a buzz. When I say fruit of your lips, it's something you don't have to speak, but it's something you should be able to speak. You know, it's not this, I mean, this hocus pocus in some charismatic circles where you have this feeling of praise.
It's not just a verbal expression of soft music playing in the background.
No, soft.
Related to 1 John 1:9, you said to say the same thing God says.
That's confess. Mm-hmm.
Right, same thing, you're agreeing with God.
Yeah, that's our
that
word.
He needs us to agree with him, but...
Yeah. No, and it's just we're in the right, and you know, we're spiritual believers, we're thankful, and we're on the same wavelength.
Right.
And with that, as the Holy Spirit deals in our lives, as we're aware of what's going on around us, don't forget he's molding us all in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so he makes that impression so that when we praise him. Now, just because somebody says praise the Lord doesn't mean they're praising him. I mean, it's so interesting.
It's a common expression.
It is so common that if you ask them what it means to praise, they'll say, praise the Lord. I had a family that had kids in our school in California, and it was kind of a shocker. They were in a charismatic church, and their son had a big problem, and I needed to... deal with it. I was was an administrator and had to talk to him about this kid. We came mighty, mighty, mighty close to kicking him out of school. And so I called, and we had a policy in the Christian school, and that policy was we called Dad. We didn't call Mom.
Good.
And so we would.
I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, we
really. I do. I'm a mother of three boys. Trust me. I like that.
And that's what we would do. I mean, there are real stories that come out of that. I mean, of having that policy. Mm-hmm. And the parents kind of knew that was going to... I mean, we let them know that we're going to call Dad. We're not going to call Mom if we can avoid it. And so we would call Dad. In fact, I had the secretary call Dad of one of the kids, another problem. And she called him, and I had no idea that the parents were separated. I don't know whether they're divorced or not. And I called him, and he was so unhappy with the way his wife was raising his kids, they almost got married again.
Oh. Wow.
And, I mean, that worked out. I mean, I don't know how it all ended in the long run. I mean, I ended up meeting with their pastor and them about this whole thing. But anyway, I called this dad on the phone, and got him, and I mean, the phone rings, and the answer is, praise the Lord. And what do I say?
Hello. How do
you do that?
Yeah. Who's God?
And so, I mean, I had my discussion with this fellow, but it was kind of interesting. As time went along in a situation, I mean, the lack of an understanding of how to please the Lord without living with doubt, with bootstraps, and that family was in, really, I mean, they had really, the one, well, they had a daughter, it was really, really nice gal. We thought she was going to go somewhere. Yeah, she did. She didn't go to a home of unwed mothers. She just was one of them in that matter. And that was not supposed to be. But their family situation was a lot less valuable from what we had thought earlier. So anyway, praise the Lord. What did that do? Nothing. And we gave him, it made him spiritual. No, it didn't. I mean, he's a guy who's going to lose his salvation if he didn't say it. was kind of almost where it was. Now, when we talk about praise, we have two major forms of praise in the Greek text. We have aineo or epineo in the verb, and we have einos or einasis and epinasis in nouns. Now, I just got it transliterated there. And einos, that's the term we're looking at in Hebrews 13:15. Epinos is making it a little bit more tensive. And so what I've done in the notes under B is indicated how many times these terms occur. And there's a good stack of them. But we have to be wise, because where do you expect to see a lot of praise in the New Testament? A lot of use of the word praise.
The Psalms?
Oh, in the New Testament. In fact, the Hebrew word is used in the New Testament. You know what the Hebrew word for praise the Lord is? Hallelujah.
Revelation.
Oh. Book of Revelation. Yeah, and so you remember, when you read Revelation, how often you read the Hebrew? And it's Hallelujah is the way they transliterated in the Greek.
Alle or Hale?
Alleluia is the Greek way they do it, and in the Hebrew it's Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me explain what that is. Hallelujah is an imperative, which means, and it with the ooh on the end, it tells us it's in second masculine plural. And so it says, "You guys praise the Lord." So when you say Hallelujah, is Jehovah, the short form of Jehovah, and so when it comes across, it still has that meaning. And when you say Hallelujah, you're telling someone to praise the Lord. You're not praising him. You guys praise the Lord. That's what you're saying when you say Hallelujah. And so the Hallelujah chorus is telling everybody to praise the Lord. You know, when you think of that. And what is interesting, that form in the Hebrew is what we call an intensive form. It's a pretty strong form. It's what we call a PL. And it's an intensive. You guys, praise the Lord. There's a lot of praise material, and when we add them all up, we have 29 references of all of these forms in the New Testament. And in Romans 15:11, we have both the compound and the simple form included. So this is a term that's not so hard to study in this matter. And praise always relates to the character of God in providing a benefit. I mean, I like to try to keep it simple without going to the longer. I mean, Dr. Schaefer's definition is a good definition. Praise is a communication with God in which there is a response of appreciation to some aspect of God's character which was responsible for the benefit received by the believer. See, and what I said is the same exact thing except shorter. And it wasn't quite as technically, it didn't go through some of the details. But it's an expression of appreciation for the benefit provided by the character. I mean, for the character of God in the benefit. And so when you think of that. And so when you talk to me, you're going to probably find people think I'm weird. I hope they do in this case. Because if they tell me something, I did this on the phone the other day. Somebody told me something that God had done and let me know, and I said, thank the Lord. You know, it's kind of interesting, that little hesitance on the part of that other person when he heard me say that, because it wasn't normal. And that's where we usually should start. You thank him first. If you appreciate the benefit, then you can be appreciative of the benefactor. And so that's the normal order of things. So you don't hear me say praise the Lord unless I'm singing the Hallelujah chorus. And that, you know, that kind of thing. And all I'm doing is trying to be careful in what we do with this, and so that it'll make some sense. And so that's that imperative idea. But no, we give him, and I better say something else because I've got you on a track that I don't want to lead you in the wrong direction. In the Old Testament, Hallelujah is not like Inesis, really. The reason is, in the Psalms, you'll see that it usually involves some kind of a physical action. And so, I'm not condoning what goes on in a lot of churches, but there's more activity. You know, I mean, I won't do it. I don't think it's appropriate for a Grace Church necessarily to do it, but you go into some of these churches and they say, give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me. I'm on a pet peeve now. When you go to some churches and some musician has sung or something's been played in a service, and when they're through the song, they give them they applaud. I don't know, that rubs me the wrong way.
Amen.
And the reason it rubs me the wrong way is it takes me a minute or two to talk to God about my appreciation. I mean, I'm going to thank him, and if I'm impressed by a lyric or something in that song or something I know about that person, I'm going to be praising him. I don't have time to think about clapping my hands or doing any of that because I am talking to God. And by doing that, it becomes frivolous. It becomes a routine, and that's not a good thing. And so our praise is always related to the character of God. And so the logical adjunct to that is the more you know about God, the more you can do as your praise. You know, it's really interesting. Now, when you think about that, I mean, many of us have done this and didn't know it. You know, and where do we start usually? You know, you get saved and you're thinking about it and you say, thank you, Lord, for my salvation, and next thing you know, you say, thank you that you love me. Isn't that kind of the way it works? And you don't even have any idea that you were using the wrong word. God knew. You were saying, thank you for your love, and it's really you've praised him. You see his love in it, and you understand it. So it's not that complicated. We start often with our understanding of the love of God, which is really interesting because his love was expressed in the past.
Yeah, I think that for Kathy and I, we understood the gospel. We got messed up when we started going to a church. Well, really, I mean, we got taught some really, now we look back at it, really heresy that we got taught.
Mm-hmm.
We respected the man that was up there and just took it hook, line, and sinker and went along with it. And it really leads you down the wrong path.
Yeah, and what does it do to you? I mean, what it does, it prevents you. It prevents you from maturing.
Well, we thought at times we were going to lose our salvation, and I mean, there was all.
Oh, you did that?
Oh yeah. I mean, John 1:9 was taught that way. That if you didn't confess to that, you know, if you didn't confess at all, well, then you're going to lose your salvation. I mean, it was a couple of years ago that we met up with you guys, and it was just like we were a puzzle. You guys just split us apart. I mean, in regards to, we had started questioning about all this stuff that we'd been through for 20 years. And so we can say we're thankful.
Well, I hope you know where it came from.
We're the God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can clearly see that the Lord brought us. The steps were all directed by the Father.
Yeah. And it's really interesting how God does that.
Yeah. And
so many ways.
By accident. There's a lot of things that happen.
Yeah, on that count.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing about praise is it's really fun, and a lot of Christians don't understand these things, and that is, well, in Hebrews 13:15, yes, it gives a definition, but it tells us something else about praise. What does it tell us? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. When we praise God, it is a sacrifice of a believer priest. So your praise is part of your priestly ministry. And so it's one of the seven sacrifices. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sacrifices of the believer priest. And so you have three of them right here. You have 15, you have one, and 16, you have two. It says, but to do good and to communicate or fellowship, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So in those two verses, you have three of the sacrifices of the believer priest. And so as part of your priestly ministry. And so you have half of them here. You have a sacrifice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, sacrifice of your physical body. You have a sacrifice in Philippians 2:17, which is a sacrifice of faith. And you also have a sacrifice in Philippians 4:18, which is a sacrifice of giving. So there are six of them. And there's a chapter on each of those subjects in the Priest of the Believer book. That was not a commercial. I was just mentioning it.
We're going to get there. Don't worry.
Ray?
You mentioned about praise being directed for the personal character of God, and then stating the sacrifice of praise. What relationship does that have with the prefix on epiano and epi? That epi means upon or toward?
Yeah, it's upon or toward, and it makes it stronger. Okay. Though it's hard to see that distinction when you see the occurrences. Hmm. I mean, the prep work for this material, I mean, I've gone through it many, many times. Every time I work, I work through it, I'm ready to write a book, or a set of books. I've wanted to write, I've been working on this book material for more years than you want to know. Because when I started thinking in these areas and systematizing them, the first series in prayer meeting, when I went into the pastorate, right after I graduated or finished seminary the second time, and you know, when you flunked the first time, you have to go second. No, when my second degree. But when I went there, I was working full time in church, and I had all of these studies I was doing, and I needed to do some systematic. And I went through the Doctrine of Communication. I didn't finish it. 261 pages of notes had been passed out, and there was enough of a turnover in the people who were attending prayer meeting. They didn't know where we started. So that was years of working in this material. So I started there, and my goal with a lot of things I've done would be to sit down and do 1,200 pages in six books. That would be kind of fun. But I've got a lot of things like that God hasn't let me do. You know, so I just write notes. No, I don't have time. Okay. So you'll notice in some of my illustrations, and that's what I'm doing is illustrating what we have. I'm on top of eight, I'm number four. Praise is frequently coordinated with the giving of thanks. You know, when you are walking with the Lord and you're thinking in terms of your relationship to the Godhead and understanding that, you can't help but want to praise. I mean, it's just, it becomes just about a habit as you think about it. Yeah, I mean, little kids are glad to get the lollipop. But it takes a long time before they're willing to look at the character who provided for them, and they did it for some other reason and the kid wanted it. But as believers, our thanksgiving tends to move us toward God. Because we're already thinking about the benefit. The minute you realize that God gave you that object of food, I'm using that as an illustration because we just got through eating. Let's say it was food. The reason you appreciated it and you knew that was from God, then what do? You just sit there and smolder in your thanksgiving? No, you start thinking about God, and then you have to say more to Him about who He is. You thank Him for it, and your head's there, and so you can praise Him. And that's the idea that we have here. And so they're often together. Now, this communication, I believe primarily, if not totally, is directed to the Father. Now, I've said this a long, long time, and I know their praise is never used of communication with the Father. Zero. None. Every one of those occurrences, and none of them are directed toward any other person of God. It's all for toward the Father. Nobody else. Now you say, well, why would you have even suggested in these notes with the maybe? Because if you can thank someone, then you should be able to praise them. That's a logical thing. And so if you remember in your Bible, you've got some passages where you have thanks that is given, and we talked about this a little bit last week, thanks given to Christ.
First Timothy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in First Timothy.
1:12.
Yeah. Yeah, in chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And where it says Christ, that's the only time any kind of communication is directed toward him in the English text. And you know what it says? Literally, it says grace is to. It doesn't say things. It doesn't say good grace. It says grace. It says charis. And so it's rather interesting when we look at charis. There's a good reason to be in here. Charis, when it's used in relationship to God, they have this thing. God doesn't need any favor. That's what people think. You know, grace is for sin. God can't sin. He doesn't need grace. That is not all the grace is good for. You see. And so we have to be careful. There's favor between the persons of the Godhead. Now, let's go back a click, and then I'll go a little further, and that is, grace is a manifestation of what?
Love.
So it's the manifestation of the attribute of love. So it comes from love. Now, love isn't all for sin. The persons of the Godhead could love before there ever was sin. Because this was an unchangeable attribute, and they could love one another. They shared their love. And that made a big, big difference on it. And where I'm going is over to the grace, and I've got Englishman's Greek here is what I have. And it's kind of interesting because my Englishman's Greek is... in some places, a red letter edition almost. And, whoops, there it is. And I have lines under the word thanks, that is where it's translated thanks. Every time the King James translates it thanks, it's between persons of the Godhead. And so, I mean, it relates to a person, I mean, in this matter. And so, what grace have we? This is Luke chapter 6. And it occurs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, well, thankworthy. And that's created a question. Favor can be between persons of the Godhead. So why not say, I see grace toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's that 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12. And so that's why there's a problem. And I admit, I've swung back and forth, and I've done it more than once. I'm not that way normally. But I have a lot of problems with the other persons. How can I communicate to Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ? And you look at all of the throughs that are there. And so... it's interesting when we see that, and we'll have ongoing discussions about it, because I'm not saying it's hard and fast, no. But every other time communication is addressed to a person of the Godhead, it's always the Father. And it's usually through Jesus Christ. And you have that dia on that one, and it makes a difference. Just quickly, a believer's works can praise God. Your life can bring praise to God. You know, it's an advantage to be a spirit-filled believer so that God can be praised because of what somebody sees in your life. On it, we've been in some discussion in some other areas, with some other circumstances, and when you say, "Well, this person, you know, what would happen if this person got straightened out, or this person got saved?" You know, God would get glory in some very interesting ways, and we can think of some. I mean, I have a few candidates on my list of people that I have to do with, and I wonder why God never brings them in my life. I don't know. I have no idea, but he's got them there for some reason. And I have one that drives me nuts, but in his case, if he got saved, I mean, anybody that ever knew him, wouldn't believe it. If his life changed, it would be something just overwhelmingly good. And he's my illustration of the gospel with the blind in his. And so our lives can bring praise as God uses us. Why do you use your spiritual gift? So God can get glory. When he gets glory, he's the object of praise for those who are the recipients of that gift and its use. So we can understand that. And so our lives can. Our victories in trial will ultimately bring praise to God. Well, sometimes we go through the ringer. God lets us go through, brings us through, leads us through by his Spirit. We get to the end. And what happens? God gets some praise from somebody. And he's a pretty mighty God, isn't he? I mean, you just see, he's got it all figured out. We don't. And because he has it all figured out, it makes a difference. Now, I make a note on 9 in the notes on 8, and that is New Testament praise is totally different than Old Testament praise. Now, just because Alleluia is used in Revelation doesn't mean it's grace praise. And when you think about it. Okay. Whoops. Okay. I got into trouble today. This 1 o'clock is giving me bananas, driving me bananas. I'm sitting here and I look up at it, and you know, I set it up the right time, and here is 5 till. And my atomic clock says 8:02. And so I let the guys out, and I know it talks to me.
That's weird. Oh my.
That one's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and you know what he did? He had Judy sit there for about 3 days filling all that in. Yeah. So anyway, under D, praise may be given by men to men. This is not, I mean, you can praise a person. It's a scriptural. It's okay. Because you see something. Be careful in praising believers sometimes. You want to. I'm on this campaign right now. It was happening last night. Trying to keep people from going, getting their nose stuck up in the air because they learned some things that they never knew before, and they know a lot of people don't know. I mean, if you think you learn some new things and you're better than somebody else, I'm not sure you need to go back and get some things straightened out because you're no better. I mean, that is so gracious. I mean, if you can't focus on God and say, "I am so appreciative of those things that you've taught me, God. I'm humbled by the fact you've seen fit to let me know some of these things." And as is said, with knowledge comes accountability. And that happens. And so there are qualities of character. I mean, you can see, I'm not going to look these verses up because I was trying to hurry tonight, and I usually spend more time when I'm getting in. Hebrews 13:15 is a pivot. And God works in the life of a believer to place him into the praise of his glory at the moment of salvation. And we can go over to Ephesians chapter 1, and I don't think it will hurt us to go to Ephesians 1, 6, and we're going to go hopping down through these. There are three of them, and this is your, you know, the backbone of this statement is in Ephesians 1. Now, don't forget, Ephesians 1 is a long run-on sentence. I mean, I've always said, if I had written a sentence like this in senior English in high school, my senior English teacher would have not only flunked me, but she would have publicly berated me for a sentence like that. And I mean, that's sometimes in my era that people would embarrass you, hoping to teach you with the embarrassment. Paul, on the other hand, was not my high school English teacher. He had no English. And this, 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's highly favored us in the beloved. The praise of the glory of his grace. You know, there's probably a good reason. I know there is a good reason. That at Valley we sing in the Beloved every other Sunday. There's a good reason we sing He Look Beyond My Fault every other Sunday. So we are always singing a song that relates to our position in Christ. It's that friendly reminder. And then every month we are reminded of the very same thing. And that is in communion. And so when we have a communion service, we're reminded of this kind of thing that relates to the praise of the glory of his grace. There's that praise, that possibility. This reminder is so important. And we don't forget. And those words of those songs, you know, if you're doing something and all of a sudden they come to you. I think I walked by a door in my house today, and I think I heard somebody going through in the Beloved. I think, in that matter. I mean, were you whistling or singing? Humming. Anyway, Grant was, and I thought, you know, that's what it's kind of all about, isn't it? I mean, that's why we learn these songs. I mean, Danny Boy is, you know, I know it's a secular song, and if you were Irish, you'd be waving the Irish flag. But when you sing Danny Boy, made near to God and seated in the heavenlies in Christ, I died, was raised and not condemned. I'm one with Christ, placed as a saint in highly grace, complete in him. In Christ I have no need. What are we doing? We're tied into this thing of position, which is part of the praise of the glory of his grace. And so that becomes very important to us. Let's jump down from verse 6 to verse 12. And it says that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace who first trusted in him. And most people don't want to read verse 11 to understand this. Verse 11 says, in whom we have been made an inheritance, being marked out beforehand. Yeah, see, I didn't read the word that's there in the King James. Marked out beforehand according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the determinative counsel of his desirous will. Now, I was translating, obviously.
Why did you say marked out before him instead of being predestined?
That's what it means. Set the bounds.
Set the bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me give you an English word.
Okay.
That you will understand somewhat because it comes from this Greek root. And it's the word horizon. The bounds. The bounds. And so he's marked out the bounds. He doesn't have you as a puppet on a string. But what he has, he's put the bounds. You know, it's like a railroad track. The bounds are there. There's room in between. It's like a landing strip, a runway. You come into the runway and there's there's room on the sides. And if you go off, but God doesn't let you off. You see. And so, you see, predestination doesn't have anything to do with destiny. It's bounds. Yeah, well, you know, everybody says predestination is looking. God has set your destiny for the future. And that's not what this means at all. On that, so. Anyway, this is, give you something to think about. On that. And so, in 12, let's go on down to 14, or 13. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed and were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto or into the praise of the glory of his grace. Praise, praise, praise. And so you see how these things work this way. Okay, we're going to have to stop. My brother is not very patient over there, you know. No.
I didn't even see you come in. Wow.
Yeah. So we'll come back at E and go back through it real quick. I mean, it's a review, and we need to review when we come back on Tuesday next if we don't have the big meeting in here. And so that's our target. And then we'll be moving on to worship communication. I'm hustling these things because of our time, but we will be back and tie these down. I will probably land in the future for a moment before we go back through this. We'll go to Revelation. Revelations, quote unquote. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the privileges that are ours. To have the privilege of talking to you. And what a blessing it is to know that when we talk with you, we don't have to be people who are asking you all the time. Because most of our time is going to be spent being in worship and thanksgiving and praise. And it's not because you're shortchanging us, but you've done so much for us, we can't help but be doing that. And so may our studies here, as we relate to thanksgiving and praise and then worship next, may that be that which will enhance our understanding of our relationship to you. And we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen.
Stop.